Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Ox Talk for the week of Tuesday the 27th of May. My name is Ross and I'm compiling this week's edition. This week's news items were collected from the local Oxford papers, with news being selected and read by Alison Soskis, with some news being edited by Margaret Simpson and read by Stefan Harness. Sunrise for the upcoming week will be around 5 a.m, with sunset being around 9 p.m. The copying and distribution of the USBs is by Michelle Lawful. Here, there will be some instructions on how to listen to OxTalk using your Alexa device, and at the end of this edition, you will hear how to access OxTalk online. After which, we have a poem, selected and read by Jenny.
Notice to listeners of OxTalk who use a smart speaker to access our service. There are new instructions for anyone who listens to OxTalk using Alexa. To listen to OxTalk in this way, you now have to use the Talking Newspaper skill. First, you need to enable it. Simply say, "Alexa, enable Talking Newspaper." Then, to listen to OxTalk, please follow this procedure.
Alexa, open Talking Newspaper.
Welcome to your Talking Newspaper skill. Please say the name of a newspaper, or a town or city you would like to hear from.
Oxford.
Here are the following newspapers nearest to Oxford. Please pick a newspaper name. Oxford and District Talking News, Whitney Talking News Latest Edition, Whitney Talking News Previous Edition, Whitney Talking Magazine, Wallingford, and District Talking Newspaper. Or do you want to hear more?
Oxford and District Talking News.
Do you want to listen to Oxford and District Talking News?
Yes.
This is Oxford and District Talking News.
If you have problems listening to OxTalk in this way, it could be due to the way that your Alexa device is set up. Please check the settings with whoever set up your device in the first place. If you still have problems, please contact OxTalk and we will try to help.
Whilst taking a walk recently through my town, I bumped into a friend of mine, John Lanyon, who is a gardener working in Charlbury and also happens to write poetry. I asked him if he'd like to share one of his poems with the OxTalk listeners, which he was happy to do. He told me that the excitement of growing plants from seeds never goes away. In the first part of the poem, it is the gardener talking to the seeds, and the second part are the seeds speaking to the gardener. Seeds. Fat, wrinkled runner bean seeds, saved in autumn in a jam jar. A pinch of poppy dust in a used manila envelope. The half-forgotten, soil-stained packets of parsley and lettuce from last year. Small, silver-lined promises of morning glory, evening primrose, night-scented stocks, all ready to spill from their temporary homes. Tiny bombs of hope, eager to explode, thirst for moisture, hunger for light, a welcoming bed. I will bring you colour. I will bring you scent. I will nourish you. I will take your carbon dioxide. I will give you oxygen. I will root the shaking earth. Come, it is spring. The soil is warming. The moon is rising. If you do your part, I will do mine.
A 102-year-old has shared the secret to a long life as she celebrates her birthday. Gilda Thomas, a resident at Cuttlebrook Hall Care Home, celebrated her 102nd birthday, surrounded by friends, family and fellow residents. The care home organised a special celebration complete with afternoon tea, live entertainment and a birthday cake, as well as a visit from the Mayor of Tame, who presented her with a bouquet of flowers. When asked about the key to her longevity, Miss Thomas said, I wish I knew what the secret was. There are no secrets in my life. I have lived a long life due to the luck of the draw. Born in London and raised in Raisbury, Mrs. Thomas served as a meteorologist for the RAF during World War II. She has always stayed physically and mentally active, enjoying walking, swimming, boating and playing Scrabble. Looking back on her life, she fondly recalls her teenage years as a girl guide in Windsor, where she took part in many activities, including attending the funeral of King George V. At age 21, she married her late husband, John, and the couple welcomed 4 children and 8 grandchildren. Alana Kaur, home manager at Cuttlebuck, said, Gida has an absolute treasure, and it was just such a delight to celebrate her milestone 102 years. Her positivity and sense of humour are much loved at Cuttlebrook Hall, and we're all incredibly lucky to have her with us. A teenage boy has been assaulted in a violent altercation in the city, leaving him with face injuries. The incident occurred close to the John Allen Centre on Between Towns Road near Templar Square in Cowley on Sunday at about 7:20 p.m. Police said a boy, 14, was assaulted in an altercation between a group of teenagers and sustained minor injuries to his face. Thames Valley Police are now appealing for witnesses to the incident. Investigating Officer PC Daniel Roberts said, I am appealing to anyone who is in the area and may have seen this altercation and assault to please come forward to talk to us. I would ask anybody who may have dashcam footage to please check and contact us if it has captured anything that may assist the investigation. Anyone with information should contact the police by calling 101 or making a report online, quoting reference number 432-50-230-833. Alternatively, contact independent charity Crime Stoppers anonymously by calling 0800-555-111.
David Beckham took a trip away from his West Oxfordshire home to meet the King and Queen. He and wife Victoria have lived at Great Tew near Chipping Norton since 2016. They settled into country life and the house featured in their Netflix documentary. Mr. Beckham took a trip to the Chelsea Flower Show on Monday, where he met the royal couple. The King and Queen indulged their passion for gardening during their visit to the world-famous horticultural attraction. Mr. Beckham wore a king's rose in his buttonhole, a new bloom bred by producer David Austin, in support of the King's Foundation.
And now an article about the traditional sport played in Oxfordshire, Aunt Sally. Dan Redding was in tremendous form as he clanged off 14 dolls, 5-5-4, to lead the Swan to an impressive 2-1 win at home over Littlemore British Legion C. The Swan set 26 in the opening leg, but Legion passed that with the 28 thanks to a 6 from a skipper, Martin Cook. However, that was to be the only success for Legion as Swan upped their game and won the next two legs, 28-20, 27-16. Mark Rollins chipped in with a dozen dolls, 4-4-4, for the Swan. Roger Goodall was another 14 doll scorer, 3-5-6-5, for the White House, as they had come from behind to beat Yarnton British Legion 2-1 at home. White House set the first leg with 24, and in reply, Yarnton left anchorman Mark Poulter just 2 dolls needed to win, which he duly obliged. A set of 20 in the second leg by Legion was surpassed by White House, with only 6 players thrown, and ended up with an impressive score of 31. White House then completed the turnaround in the final leg, winning it 29-24. Addy Cross hit a steady 4-4-4 for the White House, while Poulter bagged himself a 6 in his 11-doll haul, 2-3-6. Ian Bowler for Littlemore British Legion A made up the trio of players to hit 14 dolls, 4-5-5, with all 3 legs won at home to Garsington Sports Club. The opening leg was a low scoring, but the encounter as they both hit the dolls, 14 dolls, with Legion winning it on 6-3, 6-6, 6-5. Legion then went on to take maximum points in the next two legs, 23-19, 20-15. Six Bells C have already opened a 4-point gap at the top of the Section 2 after they whitewashed Donington Club B 3-0 at home. They won the opener 19-15 and then set 18 in the second leg. In reply, a slow start by Donington cost them dear as they just fell one doll short in the chase and ended up with 17. Donington set 16 in the final leg, which proved to be no problem for the Bells as they passed that with ease, hitting 20 in reply. Jack Lane for the Bells was in top form, hitting Baker's dozen, 5-4-4. Sixers, M. Cook Littlemore, BLC, R. Guddle Whitehouse, M. Poulter Yarnton BL, M. Bow Littlemore Rugby Club, Blobbers, B. White Viking C, K. Dighton The Tandem, B. Clark, S. Barker, Golden Ball, D. Seeley, P. Sermon, Littlemore, BL, B. Top Doll Scorers, 14, R. Goodall, Whitehouse, D. Redding, The Swan, I. Bowler, Littlemore, BL, A. 13, L. Purser, New Club, J. Lane, Six Bells, C.
A former head teacher from Cowley is celebrating her 80th birthday by taking on an 80-mile cycle in support of vulnerable communities around the world. Leslie Williams, who has always been a keen supporter of international development charity Christian Aid, is undertaking the challenge as part of Christian Aid Week 2025. She has previously raised money for the organisation, which is also marking its 80th year, by wing walking and abseiling. Ms. Williams said, every year during Christian Aid Week, people across Britain and Ireland raise funds, act and pray for their global neighbours in a celebration of hope for a fairer world. Along with Christian Aid, I hit 80 this year in June and I'm planning to enjoy 2 40-mile rides over May the 29th and 30th. I'll be covering the distance in solidarity with millions of people who have to walk long distances for clean water or to sell their produce.
A care home near Wallingford has been sold for an undisclosed price. The Old Vicarage, a 52-bedroomed home in Molesford, has been sold by Friends of the Elderly to Hanning Homes Limited, marking the company's first venture into the care sector. The care home, which provides residential and dementia care, sits on a 3.95-acre plot and includes the original Old Vicarage property. Jennifer Griffiths, interim co-chief executive of Friends of the Elderly, said it was very important for Friends of the Elderly to find a buyer who shared our values and had a clear vision for the future of the Old Vicarage. We wish Hanning Homes every success as they take the Old Vicarage forward. The sale was managed by specialist business property advisor Christie & Co. Charles Phillips, Director of Care at Christie & Co, said, "The Old Vicarage is a superb care home and we obtained a strong interest in multiple offers during the marketing campaign. This demonstrates there is a good demand for similar homes in this area and also the wider south." Charles Vaughan Lee, CEO at Hanning Homes, said, "I am delighted to have purchased such a lovely home and would like to thank Friends of the Elderly for helping me start my journey into the care sector. I am looking forward to building on the home's strong local reputation and working with the staff and residents to enrich the lives of everyone at the home." Pupils from a special educational needs school in Blackbird Leas met the outgoing Lord Mayor of Oxford to hear about his role as his term came to an end. Councillor Mike Rowley, the first neurodivergent Lord Mayor of Oxford, met with members of Orion Academy's Schools Council to talk about the role of local MPs, mental health and his support for Oxford United. The pupils also met the Lord Mayor's Sergeant David Hawkins and were given a tour of Oxford Town Hall, including the Council Chamber, Courtroom and Jury Room. Fizzy Cox, who supports Orion Schools Council, said the Lord Mayor and Lord Mayor's Sergeant were really welcoming and informative, and it was great to see students engaging with them. We are very grateful to them both for so generously giving up their time to speak to students, and I know they found it a thought-provoking and inspiring visit. Sophia Khan, a youth worker at Orion Academy, said, "It was brilliant to see the council representatives learning about Oxford City Council and the Lord Mayor and linking those to their own experiences in school." A representative for the school council said, "Getting into areas like the courtroom and council chambers was great."
Josh McEachran hopes to have at least 3 more years left in his playing career following his release from Oxford United. The 32-year-old midfielder will leave United as a free agent this summer, having made 49 appearances for his hometown club over a 2-year stint. McEachran joined the youths in June 2023 and played 34 times as the club won promotion via the Sky Bet League One playoffs during the 23-24 campaign. McEachran replaced Ruben Rodriguez for the final 10 minutes at Wembley in the playoff final victory against Bolton Wanderers and impressed in the most recent season under Des Buckingham. Once Buckingham was sacked, though, McEachran played just once when Gary Rowett was appointed head coach. But the midfielder has no hard feelings and only happy memories to look back on. He said, "It's been massive. Coming into the club, everyone wanted to get promoted, but actually achieving that in the first year was huge for the city. I've been seeing the pictures of the parade and it's still giving me goosebumps now. That was massive for me, the club, and everyone involved. And then staying in the Championship was massive. At the start of the season, I think I was doing well and playing well and getting good game time. Then Gary Rowett came in and I didn't get as much game time as I wanted, but that's obviously Gary's opinion on me and the style of play he wanted to play. I really got on with Gary. I thought he was a fantastic guy and a good coach, so I wish him well for the future." On continuing his playing career, McEachran said, "I'm 32 now. I've still got 3 to 4 years left playing. I'll see what options I've got this summer, and hopefully I'll be with someone on day one for pre-session. I'm looking forward to it. I still feel fit and healthy, so I've definitely got a few more years left. The season hasn't even finished, really, for the Championship and League One. I've got to weigh up my options in the next few weeks and see what's about, and we'll go from there."
A Bicester community midwife has received an award in recognition of the compassionate and loving care she provided to a mother and her family. Shannon Russell has been honoured with Oxford University Hospital's NHS Foundation Trust DAISY Award, which recognises nurses or midwives who have delivered outstanding care. The family who nominated her said, "When our son passed away during labour, our worlds fell apart. We spent the next 3 days in the bereavement suite and Shannon happened to be working in the hospital on the final day of our stay. Alongside the bereavement team, Shannon provided us with the most compassionate and loving care." A hockey club has paid tribute to a man who was a pillar of the community, who was among 3 who died in a fire. Dave Chester, 57, and from Bicester, died in the fire at Bicester Motion on Thursday evening, along with firefighters Jenny Logan, 30, and Martin Sadler, 38. The father of 2 died trying to help the firefighters without hesitation, his family said in a tribute released on Monday. "Since the tragedy, there has been an outpour of grief from the community, with book of condolences opened and services held in the memory of the 3 who died." Mr. Chester was the father of Jordan Chester, who was the Wands captain at Bicester Hockey Club. Paying tribute, the club said, "With the recent public announcement, it is with a heavy heart to share that our Jordan Chester sadly lost his father, David Chester, whilst helping at the fire at Bicester Motion on May 15th. David Chester was a pillar of the community, a local businessman running Chester and Sons alongside Jordan. Other members of the club worked for David. He was a well-respected man and will be a great loss to all. Everyone at the club wishes Jordan and his family their thoughts and condolences during this difficult time. A police investigation, which is not currently a criminal one, is underway, but the cause of the fire is not known at this time.
The transformation of Oxford's Botley Road has taken a major step forward with plans described as a nicely glazed canyon approved. British Land applied to build a swathe of offices and labs on the site of the Botley Road retail park in the west of the city. The site is home to shops such as Currys, PC World, Benson's for beds and Pets at Home. Screwfix closed in March, Wren Kitchen soon after, and the future of Pets at Home is in doubt. However, shops such as Aldi and Home Bargains are outside the application site. The scheme is part of the regeneration of the west end of the city, which includes the major plans for the Oxpens area and an Oxford University-owned site in Hythe Bridge Street. Botley Road households raised concerns about the height of the proposals and potential for overshadowing. However, the developers have said it would create more than 1,800 new jobs. Oxford City Council's planning committee approved the development during a meeting on Tuesday.
Festival goers will come together to celebrate local action to fight climate change and restore nature in early June. A pop-up festival featuring live music, food and drink, guest speakers and stalls will take place on Thursday, June the 5th, coinciding with the UN World Environment Day. The event will kickstart the Great Big Green Week, the UK's largest celebration of positive action to protect the planet. The party will take place on Broad Street in Oxford City Centre from 4pm to 8pm. The main stage will host local musicians and guest speakers giving short talks, and food and drink will be available throughout. The event will follow a major conference at Oxford Sheldonian Theatre on climate change and human rights, organised by Oxford University and the United Nations. Community groups will demonstrate the impact of local action from nature conservation and repair cafes to cycle schemes and energy advice. Members of the public will be able to meet volunteers and ask questions and find out how they can get involved. The event is organised by Oxford Friends of the Earth and supported by Oxford City Council, Oxfordshire County Council, the Berkshire, Buckinghamshire and Oxfordshire Wildlife Trust and Oxford University. Chris Church of Oxford Friends of the Earth said, "We live in a very uncertain times, but we can all make positive impact in our communities right now." The UK's Eurovision 2025 contestants will perform at two Oxfordshire festivals this summer. Remember Monday, made up of Lauren Byrne, Holly Ann Hull and Charlotte Steele, finished 19th during Saturday's grand final in Basel, Switzerland, after receiving 88 points from the national juries, including 12 points from Italy for their song What the Hell Just Happened. The group will perform among big names including Nelly Furtado, Rizzle Kicks and at the Big Festival on Blur's Alex James Farm in Kingham on August the 22nd. They will also perform at Blenheim Palace's Nocturne Festival live on June the 21st. The trio have said the competition has given them memories that will last a lifetime despite getting 0 points from the public vote. Speaking about their experience in the competition, they said, "Wow, what a ride. Three best mates walked onto the world's biggest music stage and came out with a top 10 jury score, massive screaming numbers and memories that will last a lifetime. Performing at Eurovision was one of the most surreal and emotional moments of our lives. The love we felt from fans is an incredible team, and everyone who streamed, voted and believed in us has been overwhelming. This is just the beginning for Remember Monday. We've got new music coming in our way in a UK and Ireland headline tour this year. A summer packed with festivals, and we'll be hitting the stage at Wembley Stadium for the summertime ball. No big deal. We're so grateful for the platform, media support and every single fan who's joined us on this wild journey. Eurovision completed it. Let's go." The trio were the UK's first girl group entrant since 1999 and fared slightly worse in the leaderboard than Olly Alexander, who came 18th in Malmö in 2024. The contest was won by Austria's JJ with his emotional song Wasted Love, while Israeli singer Yuval Rafael, who is an October 7th survivor, was the runner-up. In the centre of the city, there were clashes between pro-Palestinian protesters and police, and three officers were injured, according to the police. Rafael was left shaken and upset after pro-Palestinian protesters rushed towards the barrier when she was on stage on Saturday night, and her team said. The spokesman for Israeli broadcaster Khan said the protesters were blocked by security officials and their delegation needed to move location for 15 minutes.
Emergency services, including the bomb squad, were called to Oxford after a young man fished a grenade out of a stream. A police cordon was put up in Paradise Street at about 12:50 p.m. on Thursday. Jay Challis, 19, from Yarnton, discovered a pineapple grenade in the Castle Mill stream while out with his two carers, his stepmum, Sam Challis, said. Miss Challis said, "His carers rang me to tell what they'd found, and they called the police straight away. The area was cordoned off while they waited for the bomb squad to come. When the bomb squad arrived, they found it was live, so they wrapped it up in a red box to take it away to detonate. A pineapple grenade is the nickname for an MK2 grenade, a fragmentation-type anti-personnel hand grenade introduced to armed forces in 1918. Miss Challis added, "Jaden goes everywhere magnet fishing. He loves it. He's never known anything like this before. He had a training round, but not in real life."
Students have protested at an Oxford college over its alleged links with Israeli action in Gaza. A group called Oxford Against Genocide gathered outside Magdalen College over the weekend. Thames Valley Police said it was engaging with Oxford University and Magdalen College over the protest. On Saturday afternoon, a police spokesman said, "We are aware of the protest on Magdalen College. We are engaging with Magdalen College and Oxford University, engaging with the protesters to ensure the rights of those impacted by the protest activity are respected and to maintain the safety of all. The protesters claim the college is complicit in the genocide of Palestinians. This is due to its links to Larry Ellison. Mr. Ellison, the Oracle founder and chief technology officer, is associated with Magdalen College through his funding of the Ellison Institute of Technology, EIT. Magdalen College announced in March five scholars would begin studying at Oxford in October through the EIT, to be known as the Ellison Scholars. The scholars will receive funding including full tuition, living expenses and research support, but the protesters are drawing attention to Mr. Ellison's support for Israel during the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Mr. Ellison is said to have made a substantial donations to Israeli causes.
It seems the lush summer months are almost here, and with them comes the Berkshire, Buckingham and Oxfordshire Wildlife Trust's annual invitation to reconnect with the natural world through two exciting initiatives, the ever-popular 30 Days Wild Challenge and photography competition. 30 Days Wild is the UK's Visit Nature Challenge, encouraging people to do one wild thing each day throughout June. The brief is refreshingly flexible and open to interpretation. All you have to do is connect with nature in any way that is meaningful and convenient to you, whether it's simple moments sitting on a park bench, watering herbs on your windowsill, reading a book about the environment, or observing the insects that thrive when you let a green space grow. Every small act contributes to a deeper appreciation of nature. Beebont wants to expand the possibilities of what it means to connect to with wildlife. You don't have to have expensive kit or the luxury of time to form a strong relationship with the natural world, and the Wildlife Trusts are offering a special free pack to help you get started. Sign up today to receive your pack and join thousands of others in redefining what it means to be a nature lover. You can sign up for 30 Days Wild at bbowt.org.uk /30-days-wild.
A bus operator says it will be promoting inclusivity and diversity within its workforce after being confirmed as a sponsor of this year's Whitney Pride. Stagecoach West showed its support for the LGBTQ plus community at the event on Saturday, May 24th. The company had its Pride bus wrapped in the colours of the Progress flag driving along the route of the main march. The parade started outside Cineworld in Marriott's Walk Shopping Centre and travelled along Welsh Way, High Street and Church Green, ending at the Lees Recreational Ground. Staff will be at the Lees representing Stagecoach West and giving visitors the chance to win prizes and find out about the company's bus services. Chris Hannon, Managing Director at the Stagecoach West, said, "We're honoured to be one of the sponsors of this year's Whitney Pride event. They planned a fantastic programme which promised to be a vibrant celebration of identity and community. Pride is the perfect opportunity to come together and show our support for the LGBTQ plus community and celebrate the diversity that makes Whitney such a special place to live and Stagecoach West a great place to work." Stagecoach West runs several employee networks including LGBTQ plus veterans, parents and multicultural, with the aim of creating a more inclusive workplace.
College students welcomed 15 guests from care homes and elderly support charities for a morning of pampering and afternoon tea last week. Among the students was 17-year-old Holly McAllister from Oxford, who's studying a Level 1 diploma in an introduction to the hair and beauty sector at Reading College and University Centre. Last week's event was inspired by this year's Mental Health Awareness Week's theme of community. Residents at Lakeside Care Home in Reading and Shinfield View Care Home, along with three volunteers from Age UK, were invited to the college on King's Road. They were treated to a choice of a blow dry, facial, head massage or manicure. After the pampering session, they enjoyed an afternoon tea consisting of a variety of finger sandwiches, scones, cakes, tea and coffee prepared and served by professional culinary arts students. Ms. McAllister said, "It was good to take part in the event. I did a manicure. It was nice to do a treatment on a care home resident. It was a good experience as the skin type was different and it made me feel better. The lady liked it." Dorothy Ballard, a resident at Lakeside Care Home, said, "It's been absolutely fantastic. It was a lovely surprise and to have our hair dressed, I think that was a great help. We've really enjoyed it all. We've met so many nice young people and that's the most important thing because they're our future. They've been absolutely fantastic. Everything they made, how they acted, they were absolutely wonderful. Thank you on our behalf." The event was funded by Activate Learning's charitable initiative Mind Green, which supports the well-being of its staff and students across its campuses in Surrey, Berkshire, Oxfordshire and beyond. Charlotte Morgan, Regional Head of Student Experience and Berkshire and Mental Health Lead at Activate Learning, said, "The event gave our students the opportunity to work with some of the older generation, share stories and laugh together. The students enjoyed showcasing their talents in hospitality, hair and beauty, and the guests certainly enjoyed the cakes, sandwiches and treatments. The event was a huge success and a real well-being boost for all involved. We were so pleased to hear so much laughter and singing in the kitchen restaurant, a true sign of community cohesion."
Two firefighters who sustained serious injuries in a fire at Bicester Motion remain in hospital and are conscious, police have confirmed. The fire broke out at the former RAF base last Thursday evening, prompting a major emergencies response. The fire claimed the lives of firefighters Jenny Logan, 30, and Martin Sudler, 38. It also killed father of two, David Chester, 57, who worked at the site. Two firefighters suffered serious injuries and Thames Valley Police have now said they are conscious and remain in a stable condition. The spokesperson for the police force added, "We are doing everything we can to support them and their families at this difficult time. Police officers remain at the site, which remains closed. An investigation is underway, which is not being treated as a criminal one at the moment. The cause of the fire is unknown at this stage."
Pupils, parents and staff at St Barnabas Primary School came together last week for a celebration, unveiling a set of vibrant new murals that bring to life the school's new vision under its refreshed leadership. Over the last 18 months, the school has been on a journey of transformation under head teacher Becky Harris, supported by Chair of Governors David Hall Matthews and Father Christopher Wood, the parish priest and former Chair of Governors. The new murals, painted by local Oxford artist Lisa Madeld, include a majestic eagle trailing a rainbow and Barney, the wise St Barnabas barn owl. Highlights of the event included a performance of Breaking Free from High School Musical by the Year 6 pupils. The day also featured lemonade and decorated cakes, sponsored and baked by Happy Cakes in Summertown. Cake featured the rainbow eagle from the mural. The mural project was funded by the St Barnabas PTA, thanks in large part to proceeds from the annual Run Jericho event, which is fast approaching sellout status this year.
A professional speaker, best-selling author and business networking expert who lives in Witney will host next year's Lou of the Years Awards. Stephen Thomas, author of Business Networking for Dummies and Win the Room, will take centre stage at the event. The awards will take place in January 2026 at the National Motorcycle Museum in Birmingham. Mr Thomas, who has previously spoken at events for BT, Lloyds Bank and Utility Warehouse, said, "When Becky and Charles Wall approached me to be MC for next year's Lou of the Year Awards, I was thrilled. These awards are high energy, and I know that I'll be able to bring the same energy to the stage while also giving the audience some useful tips on how to build their own networks throughout the day. The Lou of the Year Awards honour and the Best in Away from Home Washroom Provision, more than 1,500 businesses are assessed each year, with the highest performing entries celebrated at the final gala event. Becky Wall, who runs the awards with her husband Charles, said, "Mr Thomas was an excellent keynote speaker at our awards earlier this year, where he struck the perfect balance between personal and professional. He spoke about business networking while sharing his personal experience of living with ulcerative colitis."
A village pub has shared its profound sadness after two firefighters and a businessman died in a fire at Bicester Motion. Firefighters Jenny Logan, 30, and Martin Sadler, 38, along with father of two, Dave Chester, 57, were killed in the blaze that engulfed the former RAF base on Thursday evening. There has been an outpour of tributes from the community, with the Lion in Wendelbury among the latest to share condolences. It said Miss Logan had recently joined the pub for its VE Day 80th anniversary beacon lighting, who stood proudly with her colleagues, representing the very best of our community spirit. The pub added, "It's with profound sadness that we share our heartfelt condolences following the tragic loss of two firefighters, Jenny Logan and Martin Sadler, who gave their lives responding to the fire at Bicester Motion on May the 15th. Her presence that evening was a reminder of the close ties Wendelbury shares with the choir service. We are deeply grateful for Jenny and Martin's dedication and bravery. Their loss is felt keenly across our village and beyond. We also extend our deepest sympathies to the family of David Chester, who also lost his life in this devastating accident."
A new Lord Mayor of Oxford has been named. Louise Upton will take on the ceremonial role from Mike Rowley. The Lord Mayor typically completes more than 300 engagements annually. Councillor Upton has selected the Gatehouse, Oxrad, and Tracts as her chosen charities for her mayoral term. The Gatehouse offers free support for adults in Oxford who are homeless, vulnerably housed or on low income. Oxrad provides inclusive fitness and social activities, and Tracts offers an alternative education option to young people. Councillor Anne Railton said, "Got to propose my friend Louise Upton to be Lord Mayor at annual council last night. Also pleased to be serving as deputy leader again this year. As ever, appreciative of the support of my Labour colleagues, and will do my best to repay this."
Hallucinations, sandstorms and starvation were just some of the things Grant Smith wrestled with when he completed the Marathon des Sables. The 157-mile route in the Sahara Desert in Morocco sees participants run 6 marathons in 7 days while carrying their own food and survival equipment. Smith, 46, from Bryce Norton, needed more than half a year to get into the physical shape required for such a challenge. He told the Oxford Times, "I've been running for 20 years because I find it helps with work stress and life pleasures. But for this, you ramp it up and before you know it, you're running in the desert. Training-wise, I was doing 10 to 12 hours a week, carrying 10 kilograms of weight. One of the furthest runs was from Brise to Broadway in Worcestershire on the back of doing a couple of 10-milers in the week and various strength and conditioning exercises. The preparation was over 6 to 8 months, with the focus of that being able to carry that sort of weight for a long period of time. I wore a sweatsuit during my training. I would go on the treadmill in a room with the doors shut and the windows closed and the radiator on before then going out, so I managed to acclimatise quite well." For all Smith's training, there were some things that Bryce Norton and its surroundings couldn't prepare him for. He said the temperatures got to over 40 degrees and for one part there was a horrific sandstorm which blew up and there was lightning in it. That was scary, but amazing as well. "I always knew it was going to be the hardest thing I'd done to date. I've climbed Kilimanjaro, but this is the Everest of running. In the race, I was conscious that people were hallucinating and you really lose all sense of reality. It's pitch black and you only have your torch catching the light of some stones, and I hallucinated that people were running past me the other way. You have to self-medicate your feet, so that included daily trips to the triage tent to inject your feet and sort out blisters. The weight loss is quite considerable. We're burning from 4,000 to 8,000 calories a day, so starvation kicks in. I've got a knee problem which I've had to manage for a long time, but I had to get through it. And then there are the usual aches and pains, which is where the training helps you deal with it." Upon his return to Oxfordshire, having made a vow for 20 years, there was only one thing for Smith to do to celebrate his achievement. He explained, "I've never had a tattoo before, and I'd always said if I did this that it would be the only time I would get one. The first thing when I got back, my wife, kids and brother got me into the tattoo parlour and I got the event logo on my ankle."
A farm centre's annual dog show saw lots of wagging tails competing for prizes in the sun. Millett's Farm Dog Show took place on Saturday with stalls, inflatables, food and of course dogs. A centre for a family business near Frilford, run by the Carter family since 1952, spans more than 500 acres and is dedicated to fruit and vegetable farming. Categories include Waggiest Tail, Fancy Dress, Child's Best Friend and Best Biscuit Catcher. The winners won a free ticket to the judges' favourite class. A statement posted by Millett's Farm after the event said, "Thank you so much for everyone who came along to our annual dog show. The sun came out and what a day we had. A huge well done to all the dogs that entered, classes and congratulations to the winners. Dogs are not welcome in Millett's Farm shop."
Wantage Silver Band Beginners entertain shoppers in the sunshine. Musicians from Wantage Beginners Band and Wantage Youth Brass gathered in the marketplace on Saturday. About 60 players performed to a large audience of shoppers and supporters. The band said in a post on Facebook, "Thank you to both bands for a stunning show, and especially to our soloists, Jan, Josh, Holly and Anna." Our youth band trombonists also did a fantastic job of Attack on the Killer trombones. Thanks to all our helpers, the Masonic Hall for use of their facilities, and to Matt for his wonderful photography skills. The next Marketplace Brass concert is on Sunday, June the 1st, when the community band and training band will be playing.
The new landlords of a village pub and restaurant say they hope to bring a fresh wave of energy to the local community. The Plough at Bodicote near Banbury closed in November last year, but after Jen and John Fahaty took over earlier this year, spending more than £100,000 in renovations, they reopened the doors of the quaint pub in April. The pub and restaurant now offers a range of food options, including bar snacks, a lunch menu, evening a la carte options, and an additional Sunday roast menu. They said, "It's been a fantastic start, and we've had so much support from people in the village and further afield. Everything is new. It was a big project, but we've been able to keep all of the old fixtures and fittings, stone walls and beams that add character, whilst also adding a new dining area. The weather has been great, and we had a lovely outdoor area for people to come and sit outside over the summer months. There's going to be plenty going on there for people to enjoy. We have so much planned, and we are looking forward to becoming a real part of the community and being a place where people would like to come and spend time." The couple are no strangers to the hospitality world. Mr. Fahaty started as a bartender in his hometown of Galway, Ireland, at the age of 14, before taking senior roles at venues in King's Cross and Mayfair, London. Mrs. Fahaty, also more than 20 years of experience in the industry, with previous roles at Harrods and Mayfair. Head chef Josh Thornett has 15 years' experience and all the food is homemade. Mr. Fahaty added, "Our chef has a big attention to details and is making everything from scratch. Every single dish that we serve here comes from his creation and his love to put flavours on the plate. It is our job to create an environment where people can relax and enjoy their food, drinks and ambience." The pub is not their first venture into the county, having run the Griffin in Witney for almost 10 years. They will host a free music festival on July the 5th as Witney Music comes to the Plough at Bodicote between 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. They also plan to expand the range of bands and artists. Mark Fulton, operates director at Wadworth, said, "Having worked with John on a number of years, we are absolutely delighted that he and Jen have decided to take on the Plough at Bodicote."
The gymnastics and cheerleading teams at Carterton Gymnastic Club have both enjoyed competition success in recent weeks. Amelie and Evie excelled at the Regional Gymnastics Championships. Amelie claimed first place in range and conditioning, second in vault and sixth in bars, finishing sixth overall. Evie secured third place on both floor and vault and fifth in range and conditioning. The club's coaches said these results are a testament to all the hard work put in at the gym. "Well done, girls." The club added, "With strong routines across multiple disciplines, both gymnasts delivered results that reflect months of hard work and determination." The Diamonds cheerleading teams also shone at the Ice Blast competition in Crawley. They turned heads and won hearts with show-stopping performances and incredible results, the club said.
A curry house has been forced to cough up nearly £25,000 after being embroiled in a dispute over odour complaints. Cinnamon's Restaurant in Wheatley has been investigated by South Oxford District Council after neighbours moaned about cooking smells. The District Council said Cinnamon's Cuisine Limited, which runs the restaurant, has failed to follow our recommendations and has breached an environmental abatement notice on several occasions between October 2023 and April 2024. Cinnamon's pleaded guilty to four charges ahead of a scheduled three-day court appearance at Oxford Magistrates Court on Wednesday, October 2nd last year. The district judge at Oxford Magistrates Courts reviewed the evidence and statements provided by the council officers and the company. Taking into consideration a revised guilty plea, the judge ordered the company pay a total of £25,000. This comprised an £11,000 fine, an award of full costs of £12,000 to South Oxford District Council, and a victim surcharge of £2,000. The eatery spent £35,000 to install a ventilation system, but the issue persisted. Restaurateurs have since launched a GoFundMe campaign to raise £35,000 and are asking loyal customers to make donations. So far, more than £1,420 has been raised. A relative of the owner, called Jay, whose surname has not been disclosed, said the owners of the eatery felt bullied over the complaints. He said, "My uncle's had enough of this with regard to legal costs. The council want the smell to go away, but even with the ventilation, it is hard to get rid of the smell of curry. We are being bullied out of this, and our restaurant is likely to close down." The spokesman for the district council said, subsequently, as well as pleading guilty to the charges of statutory nuisance laid against them, Cinnamons admitted that they could have done more to mitigate the odour. "The council can advise and assist where we can, but ultimately responsibility for fixing the problem sits with the business. The business had been provided advice and guidance on steps they can take, but to date they have failed to follow our recommendations. The council has a legal duty to investigate nuisance complaints about smells from industrial, trade and business premises that could be a statutory nuisance. We follow a clear procedure to investigate nuisance complaints, ensuring each case is evaluated based on the evidence. In the interest of our residents, it is also the council's responsibility to take action where problems exist. We always aim to advise and support businesses on how they can resolve issues. However, if the measures are not introduced to solve the issue, the abatement notices are breached. We have no option but to prosecute."
The government has pledged to stop profiting from failure after the chair of Thameswater backed large bonuses. Speaking to the Environment, Food and Rural Affairs Select Committee of MPs earlier this month, Sir Adrian Montague admitted that the UK's largest water company was letting its customers down, but refused to apologise for its bonus structure. Already the chief executive of Thames Water, Chris Weston, has been criticised for accepting a £195,000 bonus for his first 3 months in the job last year, and senior bosses could receive £1 million on top of their annual salaries in the coming months. Despite this, at the committee meeting, Sir Adrian stood firm, saying, "We live in a competitive marketplace and we have to provide the right sort of packages to these people, otherwise the headhunters come knocking." His declaration infuriated water campaigners, who questioned how this was morally justified, considering the company's poor record in terms of water pollution, as well as its precarious financial situation, which saw it recently take another high-cost loan. Ash Smith, the founder of West Oxfordshire-based campaign group Windrush Against Sewage Pollution, said, "The owners of that company are extracting cash in obscene ways. They are focused on maintaining their bonus culture and ripping off the public at all costs. It's disgraceful and he should resign." Meanwhile, former Undertone singer and leading water campaigner Fergal Sharkey demanded that Thames Water's bosses are sacked. Writing in the Daily Mail, he said, "At the very least, the bonuses must stop. If you preside over record leaks, river pollution, rising bills and terrible service, you should not be rewarded, you should be sacked." Now it seems the government might step in with the Water Special Measures Bill, giving the regulator Ofwat powers to ban bonuses when water companies fail to meet high environmental standards. These will come into force from June, meaning, according to a government source, Thames Water's bosses could have their bonuses blocked next month, as well as having to return any paid for the last financial year. Speaking on the measures, the Environmental Secretary, Steve Reed, said that water companies such as Thames Water had managed to get away with dumping sewage into rivers while pocketing millions of pounds in bonuses. For context, the Oxford Sewers Treatment Works has been pumping waste into the River Thames for a total of one in every 5 minutes over the past 6 months. Mr. Reed said, "That ends now. The government will ban the payment of unfair bonuses for polluting water bosses. The days of profiting from failure are over."
Joe Bennett posted a classy message after the news of his release from Oxford United. The 35-year-old left-back initially joined the Ewes on a short-term contract in November 2023, playing 22 times during the 2023-24 season, including starts in all three Sky Bet League One playoff ties. During the most recent campaign, an ankle injury ruled Bennett out for more than 5 months, limiting him to 12 championship appearances. Posting on social media, Bennett said, "I didn't know what to expect when I first came in, but wow, what a whirlwind. I'm very sad to be leaving, but the unbelievably grateful for the opportunity. The memories made for me and my family will last a lifetime. I'm so excited for what's next as I've got so much more to give."
Work to clean and empty every highway drainage gully in Oxfordshire is underway. The year-long programme, which will take place every year going forward, began in Wheatley last month. Contractors working on behalf of Oxfordshire County Council are planning to clean nearly 145,000 highway drains, gullies, manholes and catch pits by the end of March 2026. The £2.6 million programme is taking place after an additional £1.5 million investment to improve highway drainage was approved in the County Council's 2025-26 budget. Drain cleaning was previously carried out on a four-year cycle, although high-priority drains, such as those in areas most at risk of flooding and on high-speed roads, were cleaned more regularly. Councillor Andrew Gant, Oxfordshire's County Council's Cabinet Member for Transport Management, said, "We recognise the need to improve drainage, especially following the flooding in the county last year caused by exceptionally wet weather. This money will be used to empty gullies, carry out improved drainage management and repair the infrastructure connecting the gullies to the outlets. Improving drainage also helps protect roads by getting water off the surface, reducing the risk of potholes forming during freezing weather. Waste is removed from the drains using suction pipes before they are cleaned with jets of water. Some may require digging out by hand if a lot of silt has accumulated. It's expected the work will cause minimal disruption, although there may be temporary traffic lights or manually operated stop-go signs in operation if lane or road closures are necessary. Motorists will be asked to make sure their vehicles are not blocking access to drains when the work is due to take place. The cleaning programme is being carried out by specialist operator Drain Line on behalf of the council's principal highway maintenance contractor, M Group. Richard Lovewell, M Group business director, said, "We are proud to be working with Oxfordshire County Council and Drainline to deliver this crucial year-long programme, which will improve our drainage systems and reduce the risk of flooding and potholes. While we've designed the programme to minimise public disruption, I'd like to thank residents and motorists for their cooperation in providing access by moving vehicles. 8 gully tankers are working on the programme, 6 18-tonne vehicles and 2 26-tonne jetting tankers. The larger vehicles are used when an issue such as a blockage demands high volume or high pressure jetting. 2 of the tankers also work at night when there's less traffic, but only on rural roads to avoid disturbing residents. All tankers are equipped with asset management software that will collect accurate data on all drainage in the county. The technology also records any drain or gully that cannot be accessed."
Two lifelong friends shared their memories of VE Day as their retirement village marked 8 years since the end of World War II in Europe alongside members of the RAF. Richmond Village's Whitney marked the occasion with a 1940s themed party, complete with a live singer, lunch and a visit from RAF Bryce Norton personnel. The RAF members brought VR headsets to simulate a Spitfire cockpit, giving residents a taste of what it would be like to fly the plane. Alan and David recalled their experiences of the historic day in 1945, when they attended a street party as young boys. Alan's family were bakers and the Davids were builders, and the pair grew up as best friends. Alan said, "We never went to a social event without each other, and with both of our families together there were about 50 people. David added, "We have done everything together for the last 80 years. We've seen it all. We remember celebrating VE Day on our street with our neighbours and family. It was a really important day." Martin Crick, village manager of Richmond Villages Witney, added, "It was a special day celebrating the important occasion with our residents. It's heartwarming to hear Alan and David's stories of growing up together. Everyone enjoyed speaking with the RAF members and using the VR headsets they kindly brought with them. Some residents had never experienced that technology and loved it." An outdoor pool and water play area in Wallingford will open for the summer this weekend. The Spool and Splash Pad at Wallingford Riverside opened on Saturday, May 24th. The Riverside Park and Pools is being prepared for the new season while the Riverside campsite is already open. The site has been upgraded with new accessible mooring paths, ramps and changing places and an accessible bathroom. The pool offers activities such as aqua aerobics, swim for fitness, swimming lessons and swimming doctor sessions. Following last year's success, Riverside will again host an end-of-season dog swim, where dogs can splash in the pool with their owners. Councillor Georgina Heritage, Cabinet Member for the Communities at South Oxfordshire District Council, which owns the Riverside Park pools, said, "It's great to see Riverside gearing up for another summer of fun for families and those who love outdoor swimming. This popular facility means a lot to the community and we are pleased to have made improvements to make sure it's accessible to everyone. The splash pad will be available to use for daily from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. until early September. The pool will be open from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. at weekends. The campsite can be booked via the Better UK website."
And that is all the news for this week. If you have any comments or feedback about Ox Talk, please feel free to contact us by phoning 07496 062 280. That is 07496 062 280. Please remember to leave your name and contact number with your message, or you can send us an email to mail@oxtalk.org.uk. This edition and past editions are available on our website, www.oxtalk.org.uk, where you can listen to these editions directly or download them online. If you need any help or have any further queries, please feel free to contact us. That is all for now. We hope you have a wonderful week, and thank you for listening.